KW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic
News,
Media
I'm Alex
app.
Perez. 22 years later, the nation pauses to remember. Bells toll at New York's World Trade Center to mark the moment the North Tower fell on September 11th, 2001.
Shannon Lewis Adams.
Within earshot of the reading of the names, John Quinn, who just wanted to be close by, where his friend Joyce Carpenetto died on what was the 83rd floor of the North Tower when it was attacked on 9/11.
I bring her picture, and I've got some roses I leave by her name.
He says he's come every year for the past 22 years to reflect and remember.
Every September 11th, for as long as I live, I'll be here.
He calls it his holy obligation. Derek Dennis, ABC News at the 9/11 Memorial in Lower Manhattan.
There are also remembrances at the Pentagon and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. President Biden is expected to make remarks later today. This is ABC News. Michigan State University has suspended head football coach Mel Tucker without pay amid sexual harassment claims. USA Today says Tucker's accuser was working with the team to educate players about sexual violence. The intense heat in Texas proving to be profitable for one company.
The largest Bitcoin mining operation in North America is a massive warehouse filled with computers running 24 hours a day. During the heat wave last month, Texas energy regulators asked that facility near Austin to shut down and offered a tantalizing reward.
I was outraged. You know, this is absurd.
Luke Metzger is executive director of Environment Texas.
The rest of us are not getting compensated for reducing their electricity use.
Riot Platform says the $31.7 million in energy credits it was paid for cutting power usage last month was four times the amount it made from selling Bitcoin. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Astronaut Frank Rubio has now spent 355 days on the International Space Station, a new record among U.S. astronauts. Alex Perez, ABC News.
Mino and the Mayor.
What do you think of this team, Brady, with the new quarterback?
It's such a wild card because you go all the way back to Aaron Rodgers. What's been cool about my football experience is I've seen this. Aaron was a good player. Nobody ever expected him to become a first-ballot Hall of Famer, especially under the circumstances of having to replace a Hall of Famer, which is rare.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WI. ISS, and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
We're talking with Tony Mandrich. You're talking about your alcohol problems. Jim kind of mentioned here during the break, he said, yeah, the coaches didn't do anything about it. And I said, didn't do anything about it. They were with the guys.
I mean, nobody forced anybody to drink. Drinking was just part of it, and it was kind of like that stereotype of, you know, being a guy or being an athlete, or it was just part of that.
Mino and the Mayor. Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. And on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell. State lawmakers are set to vote on Wisconsin's top elections official today. As Nate Wegehout reports, it may not make a difference whether she gets to keep her job.
The Senate Committee Overseeing Elections is set to vote Monday whether or not Megan Wolf should stay as Elections Administrator. That's despite legal opinions from both the State Attorney General and the legislature's attorneys that say that they cannot legally rule either way. Republicans have been critical of Wolf for her handling of the 2020 presidential election. The committee will vote by paper ballot whether or not to fire Wolf, meaning that there will be no debate before the vote. However they vote, the full Senate will still need to take up the confirmation. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Republican state lawmakers also want to require special elections for vacancies in top state offices. It goes back to GOP opposition to Governor Evers appointing Sarah Godlewski as Secretary of State after Doug LaFollette retired earlier this year. A Republican bill to cut $3 billion in Wisconsin state income taxes gets a vote in the state assembly tomorrow. Governor Evers promises to veto it. The governor has a few complaints, but he tells WISN-TV he's especially concerned the tax cut could jeopardize billions of dollars in federal COVID relief money.
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, I understand people are interested in the tax cut, but when you look at the entire picture, $2.5 billion will leave the state of Wisconsin. I just can't stomach that.
Republicans plan to proceed to vote for the tax cut anyway. Assembly Majority Leader Tyler August appeared on Upfront yesterday.
I know he's got Joe Biden's phone number. He could have a conversation with him about how these tax cuts are really important to the working people of this state.
The cut would go to individuals making as much as $304,000 a year and couples who bring in as much as $405,000. It would also eliminate state taxes on most retirement income. Consumer advocates are warning people to be careful about where to turn for help to get out of debt. Brittany Merlot reports.
Millions of Americans use debt consolidation and credit repair companies to improve their household finances. Judy Dallison is with the Better Business Bureau. She says to stay away from companies that use high-pressure tactics. She says they charge big fees and promise to fix your credit quickly.
But what we find is, if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. Credit and debit repair actually take months, if not years, to solve.
Dallison recommends negotiating with creditors directly to lower payments or interest. She says there are also legitimate companies which help with debt relief. I'm Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
September is National Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Here's Alex Gonzalez.
Dr. Ajay Bhatnagar says the majority of men diagnosed with prostate cancer are found in the early stages due to effective screenings. He says generally, men over the age of 50 are encouraged to get screened, but there are exceptions.
When people have high-risk features, such as family history or of being African-American ethnicity, can also impact, because we know that there is a higher rate of prostate cancer among African-Americans.
Bhatnagar says more men asking their doctors about prostate health has led to cancer being caught sooner, which he adds has resulted in a high cure rate for a majority of patients. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
A competitor died doing yesterday's Ironman Wisconsin Triathlon near Madison. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. A pickup truck crashed into a house, leaving one person dead. The Outagamie County Sheriff's Office says the crash happened around 4:30 this morning in Buchanan. They were called to the west 700 block of Highway Z near Kakana. Witnesses say there was a loud explosion. Buchanan and surrounding first responder crews pulled the driver from the truck and tried to revive him. He was taken to the hospital, where he later died. Authorities aren't sure why the pickup drove off the road. The incident is being investigated. A Florence, Wisconsin sawmill has agreed to pay $191,000 to federal regulators after the death of a 16-year-old employee. Civic Media's Brittany Merlot reports.
Michael Scholes died in July after he became pinned in a wood stacking machine at Florence Hardwoods. He was trying to clear a jam in the machine when the conveyor belt he was standing on moved and left him pinned. A U.S. Department of Labor investigation found that three children ages 15 to 16 were also hurt at the sawmill between November 2021 and March of 2023. The sawmill had also employed nine children between the ages of 14 and 17 to illegally run machines. The sawmill's attorney reached a settlement in late August, and the U.S. District Judge approved the deal on Wednesday. The agreement bars Florence Hardwoods from hiring anyone under 16 and requires it to notify the Labor Department if it hires anyone between the ages of 16 and 18.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources wants to pay you for pine cones. They will pay up to $125 a bushel. It's all part of the agency's reforestation project. This time of year is the perfect time to collect red pine cones in northeast Wisconsin. There is, however, a process for collection, and the DNR suggests calling a nursery to make sure you're doing it properly and to make sure purchasing is still available. And finally, a quick tip for commuters. The Mason Street Bridge in Green Bay will be temporarily closed for maintenance tomorrow, Tuesday the 12th, between 6 a.m. and around 2:30 p.m. Pete Schwabe for the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 News.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Another dreary day across much of the state as a low-pressure system slowly moves by the southern tip of Lake Michigan. It will continue to wrap light scattered showers across much of the southeastern towns on and off today. Meanwhile, another low pressure swings into northwest Wisconsin and brings sprinkles later tonight. Only a trace to a tenth of an inch of rain is expected to accumulate. Some sun does peek out into the Mississippi Valley and stretches across central portions of the state. This is where the high temperatures look to climb to the upper 60s and low 70s. Otherwise, the drizzly, cloudy areas will stay quite cool, with highs in the low 60s. Winds will also be feisty out of the north, where gusts near Lake Michigan may whip up to 20 miles per hour. Spotty showers move south through the state overnight. Have a marvelous Monday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Packers beat the Bears again. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Bears 38-20 in a nationally televised game. Head coach Matt LaFleur said what impressed him the most about his team was how physical they played.
We played a complete game, four quarters. It was far from perfect, and there's a lot of cleaning up, but anytime you're plus two winning the ball, you got a great chance to win, and I thought our guys played hard, they played physical, and that's exactly what we've been talking about all season, more or less our style of play.
Packers running back Aaron Jones scored two touchdowns in the second half, including a 35-yard pass from quarterback Jordan Love.
I'm so proud of Jordan, you know. Just saw the work that he's put in, all the time he's spent in football, you know, to us. He could be doing so many other things, but this is where he wants to be, and he wants to be great, and, you know, he just gives us himself time after time after time, so you can't do anything but be happy for a guy when he succeeds like that.
Love finished the day with three touchdowns, no interceptions, a quarterback rating of 123.2, and was asked if he could feel the support of his teammates in the locker room.
I definitely could feel it. Just being in the locker room with the guys, they're awesome, man. I was actually given a game ball today, and those guys were going crazy in there. So it's an awesome feeling for me. But, I mean, we got a great team. I love those guys. It feels great.
Bears head coach Matt Eberflus says losing the home opener at Soldier Field to Green Bay hurts.
All the guys in there are you know, sick to their stomachs, and, you know, all the coaches, everybody, and it's not something that you like. But we also know it's the first game and we got to get better.
So the Packers have now beat the Bears 9 times in a row, 13 of the last 14 times they've played in Chicago. College football, the number 19th ranked Badgers trying to figure out what happened Saturday night when they lost on the road at Washington State 31-22. The unranked Cougars won the turnover margin by plus 3. Badgers head coach Luke Fickle.
There was an opportunity for us to make a few plays there at the end. We didn't, and they did. And I think there you look at it, what's the difference in the game besides turnovers? I mean, it's a tale of, you know, in some ways two halves, but what it comes down to is making plays, and they made more plays.
The Badgers fall to 1-1. Baseball, an incredible game for the Brewers, ends up in a 4-3 loss to the Yankees in 13 innings in New York. Corbin Burns pitched a no-hitter into the 8th, and Milwaukee extended it to the 11th, which would have been a new MLB record until the Yankees finally got a hit. Sal Frelick with an incredible catch in right center field to keep it alive. The Brewers still with a 3-game lead over the Cubs after taking 2 out of 3 at Yankee Stadium. Craig Counsell after the loss.
You know, we got to turn the page. That's, you know, you lost. We played a good series, played a good game today. We just, you know, we didn't ultimately, there's, you know, there's 1,000 points you can look at in the game, a lot of points you can look at in the game with which we could have got a run home or prevented a run. But, it was a good baseball game, and we came out on the wrong side.
That's Brewers manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Test your home for radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free tester at newradon.com. newradon.com. Get a free test kit now. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast.
Chance for scattered showers this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies. High temperatures reach up to 63. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tonight, lows dip down to about 51. Cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 64. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Mainly clear skies and quiet Wednesday, with daytime highs approaching 63. 70 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 59.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. Joined by Mr. Luke Mathers and Mr. Aaron Sommers. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution. Gentlemen, how are we doing on this Mondayest of afternoons?
It's a good one, Will. Excited to be back from the weekend. It was an excellent weekend and thrilled to be with you here on the airwaves across Civic Media.
I'm also thrilled to be here on the airwaves across Civic Media.
Aaron's like,
had to get a little dramatic pause.
Aaron's like, wait, let me make sure this mic's in front of my face before I start talking.
Usually a good move.
That's okay. But glad to be with you here on the radio today, Will. How was your weekend?
You know what? It happened. It was a weekend. It occurred. There was a Saturday.
And then there was a Sunday. That's usually how
and,
they go.
Now we're back to a Monday. Well, see, that's what I was going to go. I was going to be like, dude, now we're used to this this Labor Day week, the whole no Monday, 32-hour work week. Sign me up, man. We shouldn't even be here today. Let's get this implemented going forward, United States. But that's a conversation for a different day.
I'll work on Mondays so that I can have Friday off. You can take Monday off and then be here on Fridays. You already claimed victory by yourself.
That's a great deal for me. I'll take that 10 days out of the week, even if there's only
four working days. I would much rather work Monday through Thursday than Friday or Tuesday through Friday.
Oh, dude, no, I'll take the Friday. Because Friday, the stigma of Friday, like, Fridays just feel good going back. Like, people are naturally more lackadaisical. There's
no
more
because
fun
then
weekends
Sunday,
coming up feeling like
Sunday would be the true day that you're always asking for on Sunday at that point, where you're like, oh, man, I wish I had another day of the weekend. And that would be Sunday then all of a sudden. And I know that Aaron's argument of, oh, well, it wouldn't really matter because we'd all adjust over time. But in my personal mindset, it would be that's you're always looking for extra time in the weekend when Sunday rolls around because you either put your feet up and relax all day Saturday and then you put off a bunch of things and they all got to get done on Sunday, or you have so much fun doing other things on Saturday, you get to Sunday and you're like, man, I don't have enough time. I wish that there was another day of the weekend. But you'd already have 2 days off. You'd have Friday and Saturday off before that Sunday, so it would be that extra day.
What if you just procrastinated and pushed it back, and then all of a sudden the Sunday was still like, man, I wish I had another day of the week, and then somebody'd be like, dude, you had Friday. Well, yeah, but
I'm
that's
sure,
different
yeah.
because it... I'm going to throw a wrench in that anyways by, as someone who has experienced this, I'd say Wednesday. Taking Wednesday off is actually the best. 2 days on, 1 day off, 2 days on, 2 days off. I loved that. I had a job like that when I was in college, and that was fantastic. Big fan. Highly recommend it to anybody who is able to get that kind of schedule implemented. But, Luke, as we discussed, it's Monday. We're back. The Wednesdayest Monday of the week. And we are talking big news out of the Capitol today. The committee members, So according to a tweet from Emily Fannin, today lawmakers will vote on the appointment of Wisconsin's chief election officer, Megan Wolf. This is a story we have covered quite extensively on Town Call over the past few weeks and months. The vote would advance her appointment to the Senate floor, which would give Republicans the opportunity to vote down her confirmation, essentially firing her. Committee members will be voting today via paper ballot instead of in person, which is hilarious because according to Emily, GOP chairman of the committee, Senator Dan Knodel from my neck of the woods, who scheduled the vote on Friday, is not even in Madison today. So our question for you, the people of Wisconsin, is the Senate fulfilling their constitutional obligation? We'd like to hear your thoughts. Give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how this has been unfolding, because for the last couple of years, Will, the state Senate, little hesitant to confirm anybody coming out of the Evers administration. Very, I don't know if it's unenthused or what exactly you want to chalk it up to, but hundreds of appointees waiting for state Senate confirmation. No movement. They stopped legislating in April? First week of April last year, I believe it was. No legislative sessions. They weren't going to hear. Essentially, the beginning of last year, beginning of 2022, if we
did that as our joking about days of the week, Luke, that would essentially be working just Monday and then taking Tuesday through Friday.
Maybe like a half day on Tuesday. Maybe a half day on Tuesday, but essentially just working Monday and then very little else throughout the week. But even the last, when the legislative calendar was getting set back in January of 2022, Fred Prenn was still overstaying his welcome. Sondra Nass was waiting for just over a year at that point, I believe, or just shy of a year at that point, of whether or not she was going to be confirmed to replace Fred Prenn on the Natural Resources Board. And so that's really where we see Devin LeMahieu, State Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, say, we're not going to take up any more appointments. Beginning of 2022, he pretty much said there weren't going to be any more confirmations of Evers appointees. And so throughout 2022, they continue to build up. And we saw hundreds, almost 200 appointments wait before the state Senate. And now, even though there's not an appointment that exists, because there was not a majority of commissioners voting on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, you need four. There's six commissioners. You need four to get a majority. 3-3 doesn't. 3-0. 3 isn't enough. You need four.
I didn't major in math, Luke, but I'm fairly certain that 3 is, in fact, not 4.
Correct. And in the state statutes, it says 4 is needed. It's not like an ambiguous adaptation of state law. It clearly outlines that you need four votes on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, a commission that Republicans in the state legislature over the last 10 years formed. It was Republican control that created this Elections Commission. It is designed to have three Republican appointees and three liberal appointees, Democratic appointees. And so deadlock by design. In lots of instances when it comes to business before the Wisconsin Elections Commission. But they appointed Megan Wolf. She's applauded nationwide as one of the top election officials in the entire country. And now that there's not a vote to reappoint her because the three Democratic appointees abstained, they did not vote to send her renomination to the state Senate. The state Senate, Republican-led state Senate, said, well, Will, we're gonna have a hearing on this. We're gonna adopt that 3-0 vote as our adaptation that she has been renominated to be the administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And so then last week, Dan Knodel, your neck of the woods state senator that won a recent election to the state Senate back on the April ballot in a special session for that seat, or a special election, excuse me, for that seat. He's now in charge of the Wisconsin Elections Committee in the state Senate. And so he's saying, oh, well, he's obligated because the full state Senate took up this vote. I have to conduct it then. We said
he
that
referred
her
to it as his constitutional duty.
He's saying
ironic.
It's a duty. But if you look at state law, even the legislative lawyers, the attorneys for the legislature said that her 3-0 reappointment vote by the Wisconsin Elections Commission is not a renomination vote. It's not. That's what the lawyers representing Republican lawmakers, all lawmakers, they're the legislature's lawyers, they say that it doesn't count. But Republicans in the state Senate are still going to hold this vote today. And since we got on the air, well, 12 o'clock this afternoon, they started accepting the paper ballot votes, as you pointed out. And they have until about 2 p.m. So we're going to learn this afternoon the state of what is going on in the Republican-led state Senate on this questionable vote at best. I don't know how else you call it anything other than questionable, Will. Would love to hear your thoughts on it, too. If you've got thoughts to share on it, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. But, Will, they're just going to do it because they say that it's their constitutional duty? Like, what are we talking about here? Their lawyer said no, this isn't a reappointment, but they're just going to be, lawyers, math, all that be damned. We're just going to take this numbers. Vote because we want to.
If I may cite a very humorous text that we got coming out of Waukesha, numbers and math have a liberal bias, evidently. Reality is what you make of it, I guess, Luke, right? As you noted, this goes back to, I jokingly say friend of the show because of how often we have covered this individual, but the Fred Pren rule, right? As the former Natural Resources Board chairman who decided to stay in his position nearly 2 years after his term expired, and the majority's ruling at the Wisconsin Supreme Court said that the expiration of a term does not create a vacancy, meaning that holdovers in any position appointed by the governor can remain until a confirmation hearing is held by the state Senate. Well, Democrats can play that game too, just as the Republicans did regarding Fred Pren, and with commissioners failing to forward an appointment to the Senate, as the Democrats argued, Wolf could remain in her job indefinitely. However, a day later, Senate Republicans moved forward anyways, with Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu contending that the 3-0 commission vote resulted in a failed motion to reappoint Wolf, and was actually enough votes to reappoint, even though, as you noted, state law says such votes require a majority of commissioners or 4 votes. It's very clear. It's plainly clear and evident. A majority of votes, which is 4 votes, is required. 4 votes were not gathered. It appears that this is, Luke, just usurping the rules of the Wisconsin Constitution. They are not fulfilling their constitutional obligation, which is, it's funny to hear Senator Dan Knodel say it's his constitutional duty to not follow the Constitution. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not getting it, Luke.
It just seems pretty questionable. And I think it is going to be an interesting show, I guess, of where these votes are. I don't know. It's not a secret paper ballot, right? Will, like, this has got to be, if this is a vote that the state Senate's taking up, it's got to be public knowledge of which state senators are voting which way, correct?
I believe so.
Right. Like, I can't imagine this is a secret ballot. These votes are going to be documented. And the way that the state Senate, the Republican caucus in the state Senate, I think is going to be pretty telling of where we're going to be going for this fall's legislative session when it comes to the political gamesmanship that is being played. Because there's been also cries for impeachment. There have been signs, at least, that maybe not everybody is involved. We've already had a few Republican state representatives say they're not down for impeachment votes. And so maybe there's some cracks in the caucus. Maybe we'll get to see some today when it comes to how the Republican state senators are voting on this matter, if they're doing it in unison, or if there's going to be defectors. It will be telling for later down the road votes that the state Senate is going to be taking up. It will be interesting to keep an eye on, but we want to hear your thoughts on whether or not the state Senate taking up this vote is their constitutional duty because they say it is, or if you agree with the math and the lawyers.
And that, the Constitution itself.
Right, the lawyers are interpreting that. Share your thoughts with us, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We're going to be right back.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Alex Perez. 22 years later, the nation pauses to remember. Bells toll at New York's World Trade Center to mark the moment the North Tower fell on September 11th, 2001.
Shannon Lewis Adams.
Within earshot of the reading of the names, John Quinn, who just wanted to be close by, where his friend Joyce Carpenetto died on what was the 83rd floor of the North Tower when it was attacked on 9/11.
I bring her picture, and I've got some roses that I leave by her name.
He says he's come every year for the past 22 years to reflect and remember.
Every September 11th, for as long as I live, I'll be here.
He calls it his holy obligation. Derek Dennis, ABC News at the 9/11 Memorial in Lower Manhattan.
There are also remembrances at the Pentagon and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. President Biden is expected to make remarks later today. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
Two people are dead after a head-on collision in Manitowoc County. The two-car crash happened in the early morning hours on Sunday. Manitowoc sheriffs were called just before 5:30 to the town of Cato. A 21-year-old woman was pronounced dead at the scene. Her car allegedly crossed the center line and hit another car driven by a 17-year-old high school senior. She was transported by helicopter to the hospital and later died. A second suspect in a May shooting at a Fond du Lac apartment complex is in custody. 17-year-old Antonio Johnston was found in Chicago by U.S. Marshals. Police say Johnston and 14-year-old Paris Larry exchanged words with another man at the Maplewood Commons Apartments on May 7th. The argument escalated to gunshots. During the shootout, 20-year-old Tatiana Zek was shot and killed. Authorities say Johnston will be charged with first-degree intentional homicide. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999 and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are talking today's vote at the Capitol as the Wisconsin Senate's Election Committee votes whether to advance a Republican-led effort to oust the nonpartisan leader of the state's election agency. Are they fulfilling their constitutional obligation? We'd like to hear your thoughts, people of Wisconsin, 844-967-2789.
Yeah, and we got a piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Again, the headline, votes are due in today from a Senate committee on advancing efforts to oust elections chief Megan Wolf. This piece written up by Molly Beck over at the Journal Sentinel. If you got thoughts on it, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. But one of the interesting quotes that jumped out to me, Will, reading from the piece a little bit further down than just the beginning, State Senator Dan Fain, a Republican from Fond du Lac and the committee's vice chairman, voted against Wolf's reappointment, citing her absence from a recent public hearing held on the matter. Quote, "She didn't show up for her public hearing amongst a host of other issues that were brought up during the public hearing on her appointment," Fain's chief of staff, Tim Lacken, said about the senator's reason for voting against Wolf. Wolf is the center of a partisan firestorm surrounding the state elections agency as commissioners have split on how to accomplish their goal of keeping her in her job amid a push from GOP lawmakers to oust her. The lawmakers cite discontent with the outcome of the 2020 election and practices the commission recommended to help voters navigate the coronavirus pandemic, some of which have since been deemed illegal by Wisconsin judges. And so this is the citing for, again, the lawyers for the legislature said that the vote by the commissioners, the 303, I guess, if you want to call it, because there were three abstaining members, it was a 303 vote, that it did not qualify as a reappointment vote. It missed the threshold of needing four commissioners on this Wisconsin Elections Commission's to reappoint Megan Wolf to be the administrator. And so, but having a hearing then on it when the lawyers had already determined that it wasn't a reappointment, but the state Senate held a public hearing on the reappointment that wasn't a reappointment, but her not showing up to that, that's the reason that some of the state senators are at least
you didn't show up to our illegitimate circus. Why are you not at our dog and pony show? For that, I'm going to deem you guilty.
Like, Michael Gableman was there. Like, Michael Gableman had, like, chastised Megan Wolf throughout his charade that was what the Republican State Assembly authorized. We're still on the hook. Wisconsin taxpayers still
$2
million on the hook
Mikey
for the open records lawsuits that are going on still about how Michael Gableman tried to look in and find widespread fraud that found nothing. It just went out in a whimper because he went against Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. He backed Voss's primary opponent in 2022, and that's why it ended. But we're still on the hook. It hasn't truly ended. It's the only reason Michael Gableman's not still looking for widespread voter fraud.
Yeah, in my opinion, this is just another part of the narrative. That's all it is here to build, is that they can say, oh, you know what? We held this event, and they didn't show up. And so that's bad. You got to cancel them. And then doesn't matter that it's an illegitimate event. They just won't say that.
Well, yeah, they're not going to actually say, oh, well, we held this public hearing after the fact that the lawyers had already deemed that it wasn't a reappointment, but we held it anyways. They're just going to say, you didn't show up, and that's why we're holding it against you. And so,
yeah, you're guilty for not showing up, despite the fact that you had no legal obligations to show up to this because there were no legal obligations to even hold this.
Right. There's no vacancy because the term is still being filled because there hasn't been any reappointment because the reappointment was not there.
It would be like if you and I said, like, hey, we're hosting a presidential debate, Republican candidates. Please come down to town call next Friday and we'll let you all debate each other. None of them obviously show up because compared to the GOP debate platform, we don't have the legitimacy that they want to seek. And then we sit here and you know, accuse them of being guilty or failing to listen to the will of the voters because they didn't bother showing up. That's not how this works.
Yeah, it's definitely a very confusing situation as well. If you're only tuning into some headlines here or there, highly recommend you listen to Town Call every Monday through Friday, 12:15 to 1, so we can help break these down. You can also share your thoughts with us here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. Let's head over to Sharky and Racine calling in. Sharky, what are your thoughts on this vote that the Wisconsin State Senate is going to take today?
I'm definitely against it. You talked about a horse and dog and pony show. It's sickening, and I got to tell you, I want to share this with you, is that I, on the first weekend in May, we had a budgetary thing, and Boss invited his lap dog WanGuard to this thing at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall. And instead of going through the things that were concerning the people there, they immediately got on to this election thing with the voting. People talked about lead pipes. They talked about, you know, safety in our classrooms. But they didn't want to talk about it. They wanted to talk about Mr. WanGuard's automatic weapon and the director of the election president or association, a gal.
She's the Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator.
Yeah. Megan Wolf, yes. They jumped on that and they used in this, instead of talking about the budget, Robin Boss talked about getting her out. I was a little bit new to the process, but they set us up in a little circle, like we're going to have cookies and cream and coffee and something like that in a circle, mind you, with adults. It was the most disgusting output of government attempts to get these people to understand their way versus the people's way, and they just ignored. But they hammered the wolf, hammered it, Mr. Boss and Mr. WanGuard.
Well, and Sharkey, correct me if I'm wrong, but my guess would be in those discussions of the 2020 election, the way that it was conducted and being the reason for why Megan Wolf should no longer serve as the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner. Did any of those elected officials say that they questioned the ballots that they were elected on in 2020?
No, not at all. You know, they keep their hand in their vest, you know, and I almost want to move out of Wisconsin. I'm so disgusted. He happens to be my rep, and I can't stand what he stands for. And his like you say, lapdog should probably resign. So I tell you, fellas, keep up the good work. I'm proud of what you're doing here. You're hitting it good. I've been in government for 40 plus years. You can't tell by the way I talk now, but that's a disability. But I'll tell you what, gentlemen, keep up the good work and keep the light on. And let's hope for the best here.
Really appreciate that, Sharkey.
Thanks, Sharkey.
Are you by chance listening on WRJN down there in Racine? Oh, we lost Sharkey before he could answer. But WRJN, excellent station down in southeastern Wisconsin, covering Racine and Kenosha. Also bringing you the Green Bay Packers. Going to jump to that subject in a little bit. Yesterday's performance, overperformance, if you may ask, or maybe performing right
expected
up to expectations.
Expected performance if you listen to Friday's. If you listen to Friday's show, shout out to Hawk because I'm going to have to diss him a little bit. Once that segment comes
up. We'll get into that in a little bit, but as of right now, discussing the vote taking place right now, paper ballots being counted by state senators, taking up a questionable reappointment vote by the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Again, it was a 3-0 vote. It did not meet the state law threshold of having a majority of commissioners needing 4 for a reappointment. But state Senate still taking it up, the Republican-led state Senate having that vote. If you want to share your thoughts on it, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. Up next on this Monday afternoon, let's head over to Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, what are your thoughts on the day?
Well, apparently our legislatures on the Republican side can't count up to 4. I know the difference between 3 and 4. Like the average preschooler, if not before that, knows the difference between 3 and 4. And they are the ones who actually wrote the law for the new elections commission, and wrote the law that, you know, put Megan Wolf in the position that she's in. They're the ones who decided the law would say a majority rather than 3 would actually be, you know, enough to, you know, to reappoint her.
Well, they didn't say a majority of voting commissioners either, because 3-0 would have been then they would
is technically a majority, and that's the argument Devin LeMahieu made,
right? Yeah. But that's not what state law puts out there. It specifically says a majority of all commissioners, so you need 4. You can't do it with 3.
Right, and absolutely right. I mean, but technically it's 3 is not adequate. I mean, and technically what they're supposed to do as sworn constitutional officers, they're supposed to uphold the state constitution, and part of upholding the state constitution is upholding state law, and state law clearly says there's got to be 4.
Yeah.
And I mean, these guys are just purely political animals, and that you have, like I said, your average preschooler knows the difference between 3 and 4, and that these guys have the don't have the integrity of the average preschooler, because the average preschooler knows more about fair play than these guys do.
Well, I don't know if it's that they don't know the difference between 3 and 4, Mark. I think that it's they're just trying to do whatever they can to keep there is a lot of
maintain power at all costs.
It's not even power in this instance. I don't believe there is it's specifically about power when it comes to still questioning the 2020 election results. There is a lot of base voters for conservative or Republican candidates that are fired up, though, and it comes down to motivating them. They want to show to them that they believe in the big lie of 2020, just like those voters do. And so it's these elected officials that are trying to continue to have that base of voters to go back to and say, look, we're doing everything we can to try to unsteal or fix the stolen election that happened in 2020, when they know full well that they're not contesting any of their elections to that 2020 ballot. Like, these lawmakers were also on those ballots, and they're not saying that their elections in 2020 were stolen or rigged or anything. It comes down to
the elections that we won were secure. The elections that we didn't were not. And Luke, when I say maintain power, you could also look at it, because this is something that I've heard from a number of conservative voters that I have spoken to, is there's a fear of getting primaried from the right.
Yeah.
Right? You noted that.
Robin Voss only won by 300 votes or something like that in his most recent primary election.
Yep. To a more extremist individual in the primary. If you don't support, this is the way that the base of the party is starting to head. They genuinely believe a lot of these conspiracy theories that have been disproven time and time and time again by some of the most well-paid lawyers in the country. And if you don't go along with them, they'll find a candidate who does. And in these safe districts, because of the ultra gerrymandered maps, the primaries really are the election, right? Whoever wins the election or the primary election is very likely to win in the general, just based on the letter next to their name. So there's so many of these issues are intertwined, Luke. We say it all the time.
Yeah, and so I think it has less to do with power, and it has more to do with motivation. It has more to do with motivating those base voters and showing them, even though they may, behind closed doors, say this election stuff is nonsense. Why are we doing this? Outwardly facing, they're taking the line that it's like, oh yeah, the 2020 election, there's something there. We got to keep looking into that there. But really, they know that there's
nothing. And keep voting for me, because I'll be the one to do it for you.
Right, and they're the ones that will keep, rather, again, there are individuals that are more than happy with having the government have this as their primary role and responsibility of going to try to go on a wild goose chase to find widespread voter fraud in the 2020 election, while at this point it is the most audited, reviewed, litigated election, if not in recent time ever, for Wisconsin history. Because we've looked at it time and time again now. It has been reviewed so meticulously that if there was any widespread fraud, any at all, we would have found it by now. And it's just not the case. And so it is solely for keeping up appearances to primary voters that the Republicans seem to be going down this rabbit hole. Folks, if you got thoughts on it, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We're going to continue the conversation, get to your phone calls, and discuss a little bit of the weekend news dump as well when we return.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered rain showers this afternoon. Otherwise, overcast. Daytime highs approaching 63. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tonight, lows level off around 51. Cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 64. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy skies expected. Mainly sunny skies and calm Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 63. 70 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 60.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Hall, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
And we're going to head back over to the phone lines. We got Luann calling in from Hales Corners. Luann, what's on your mind on this Monday afternoon?
Hi there. This is kind of a local news story. There's a school board vote tonight happening for the Whitnall School District, and the policy was introduced by one board member, and it is actually a policy written by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, and it's one of those policies that, for example, makes you address any child in your room by their birth certificate. It's very extreme, and I just want to alert your listeners to show up tonight and speak up tonight, because that's what I plan to do.
Good work, Luann. Hey, these communities, these are the type of events that really matter. We always talk about how all politics is local, right? Grassroots organizing at the ground level by showing up to these type of events. Our numbers are our strength, and we're the ones who have built these relations in these communities. Make sure you get out there and make sure your voice is heard.
Appreciate that information, Luann. Yeah, all politics are local, so if you've got a local story that you want highlighted here on Town Call, or if you've got a subject that you'd like Will and I to dive into, you can send us an email, towncall@civicmedia.us, and we will take those suggestions there at the email. But Will, we like to do a little bit of the Friday or weekend news dump as well here on Monday afternoons, and one of the fun ones of the weekend, as you've already pointed out, Hawk Sullivan on the show with us on Friday, having some fun with Ask the Bartender and Wisconsin Headlines. Bears fan, all around excellent guy. Probably one of the
other than the whole Bears fan.
I don't hold it against him. He's a tremendous guy. Really, really love Hawk joining us on the show on Friday. And maybe he wasn't too thrilled with the news dump that happened yesterday, but. Just a bunch of touchdowns scored by the Green Bay Packers in Chicago, kicking off the 104th season for both of the teams. But a lot of fun. It didn't look all that inexperienced.
Romeo. Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
He was in the end zone twice. That's where Romeo Doubs
found himself. We found him, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. And so... pretty good game. Had a lot of fun watching it. What were your thoughts and takeaways from the Packers taking care of business down in Chicago?
Well, I don't want to sit here and toot my own horn and say I called it or anything, but give a listen to Friday's episode because I did, in fact, call it. It's a young Packers roster, but if there's one thing that's certain, it's death, taxes, and Green Bay owning the Chicago Bears. Humorous little side note, Soldier Field's Wikipedia page, temporarily listed Jordan Love as the owner of the stadium after transitioning ownership from Aaron Rodgers. Love has purchased equity in the Chicago Bears, who he will now be owning for the next 15 years.
One day, that whole gimmick is going to come back and bite the Packers in its ass. But until
that day is not today.
Until then, I'm going to enjoy it. That's all I'm going to have to say. Detroit, scary for the NFC North. The fact that they were able to, on banner night, take care of the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. That was a statement win by the Lions, but I think the Packers also taking care of business in a pretty telling statement without Christian Watson as well. So, like, one of the most explosive offensive weapons that the Packers have, not suited up to play yesterday. So he was dealing with a hamstring injury. And so it's pretty great all-around win. I think it's going to be exciting. I believe they go to Vegas now, starting two games on the road.
No, next week is in Atlanta.
Atlanta, and then they host Vegas at home?
Let me double-check week three. I know next week is down in Atlanta.
That's quite a few home games to kick off the season, but or away games to kick off the season, but I believe they'll be home for that Vegas. I could be wrong.
No, we host the Saints week three.
We host the Saints week three. Gotcha. Okay. Do we even play the Raiders? Well, I don't know why Las Vegas is popping around in my head then. I thought we played them next.
We are in Las Vegas October 9th.
Okay, gotcha. Well, if you've got thoughts on the Green Bay Packers, we want to hear them, or just any of the weekend news headlines that we may have missed here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. Let's head over to the phone lines. We got Karina in Milwaukee calling in. Karina, what did you see this weekend that you think we need to be discussing here on Town Call?
Well, I went to Canada to see my relatives. You know, when the Soviet Union was over, a lot of people left, and my family specifically, we're now all over the world, so some of us are in Canada. So my niece going to school to be a teacher, and we had a huge conversation trying to talk her out of it, actually. And my cousin was saying, who you going to teach and how you going to teach and what you will have, what kind of a level of satisfaction if today in Toronto, in the middle schools, they have in the bathroom, they have a litter box, you know, for what? Because some of the kids think there are half animals. Okay.
All right. Is that true, Karina? Because that was a talking point of throughout a lot of the midterm elections last year. There was some research done out here in the United States.
The lady was talking about the school, and I'm coming in, and just a lady called before me talking about school meeting, and I'm just encouraging people and parents whose kids are in schools to go and do something about it, because it's scary right now what's going on in our schools.
Appreciate the phone call, Karina. Yeah, I think participating in your local school boards are super important. Again, I will point out the Pew Research that satisfaction with public schools among parents that have children in the public schools, very high right now. The dissatisfaction that you see, according to Pew Research, is that the parents and individuals that do not have children in the public schools think that there are problems going on in the public schools that aren't actually there. And so I highly encourage,
Luke,
yeah,
that the litter story is generally small amounts of cat litter have been kept in classrooms as emergency supplies in case students are locked in a classroom during a shooting. There have not been any proven or documented cases.
You want to know when I saw cat litter in high school, Will, and you might have seen it as well?
Cleaning up vomit would be my
cleaning
other guess.
Up vomit. That is what it was, and now it's other bodily fluids, as you pointed out, in instances of mass shootings. And so the reason why the cat litter is in schools, very disturbing, but not for the instances that some individuals believe that it's in there. But we appreciate the phone call, Karina. Folks, you've been listening to Town Call. If you missed any portion of the show, you can go check out the podcast on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You can also follow Town Call wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, and all the other terrific ones. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:15 for another edition of Town Call. Again, if you've got any suggestions, topics you'd like us to cover here on the show, you can email us, towncall@civicmedia.us. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
Go Pack.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations? Have you changed the station due to mean-spirited rhetoric? Wouldn't it be refreshing to listen and engage in civilized dialogue about politics and how issues affect our families differently? Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I'm Chris Elfheim.
And I'm Emily Sefos. Together, we'll look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. So join us on Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Alex Perez.